Brother Strode is really good about coming in on early Wednesday nights and working with our young people and teaching them how to sing, and
it shows. I believe it's really paying off, Brother Strode. Appreciate the work that you do with them. And I was thinking about that. Heaven is waiting, and I was looking at these children standing up here. Some of them haven't reached that age of accountability, to the best of our knowledge. Some of them are lost by their actions and by the things that they've told us. And then some of them that were up here singing has been saved by the grace of God. The song's true. Heaven is waiting. Waiting for every one of us. But, you're going to have to get right with God. He's provided a place for us. Jesus even said that he was going away to prepare a place for us. So heaven's waiting. He's provided a place for you. It's up to you if you get there or not. You got to put your faith and trust in the Lord. I also want to say that I appreciate the service that the Lord blessed us with this morning. It's a good preaching, and I love the testimonies. I'm glad each one stood and followed the Spirit, what the Lord would have you to do. Because I remember when I first started coming in here and hearing the preaching and hearing the testimonies, you know, the testimonies was one of the things. Oh, yeah, the gospel got a hold of me. But hearing the testimonies of the people that had experienced salvation, that had been born again, and knew the love of God, and knew what it felt like, that they would stand and testify and give thanks of what the Lord had done for them. It made me realize and made me know that these people got something that I ain't got. It bothered me. It worked on me. The Lord used it. It worked on me. And I made mention, of course, Brother Moran's the one that was bringing the gospel. And I went for a while that I told people that it wasn't that I didn't like Brother Moran. It's just I didn't like what I was hearing. And the reason I didn't like what I was hearing, because it hurt me. There ain't one of us, I don't think, love pain. And I tell you what, when the Word of God it started getting in my heart, it hurt. And you know, when I finally got to a place, I couldn't stand that hurt anymore. I couldn't stand that pain. And I knew I needed to do something about it. And thanks be to God that he got me to the place that I needed to get to, that I couldn't put my trust and faith in him, to put my trust and faith in his son, Jesus. Lord, it's already been good to be here just because of what I've been able to feel. And once again, I thank these children for getting up singing. Something that I can't do. I was tempted to go try to sing you a song tonight. Gail would have probably thought I was crazy. I'm not going to sing it, but I am going to read the words. This morning, I got me a cup of coffee. After I'd got through eating breakfast, I'd fix me a cup of coffee. And we put the TV on Sirius, whatever you want to call it, on Bluegrass Junction. And they play Bluegrass Gospel on that on Sunday mornings. If you like Bluegrass and you have that station, you need to go to it sometime because you can get a blessing out of it. And while we're getting ready for church, we listen to that. And it helps us, I guess you can say, get prepared before we ever get here. And there was a song that started playing this morning. I grabbed my cup of coffee and I was headed across the floor to go up the steps. And this song come in and I just froze in my tracks. And I had to stop and listen to it. Some of you might have heard it. I never have. You that know bluegrass and have heard gospel bluegrass. The words to it go like this. Sinner friend, listen. It's simple. It is. It's really a simple song. It says, are you a stranger to God? Carried away with your pride. Tell me, sinner, do you ever stop and think? Or are you afraid to die? The chorus says, are you afraid? Are you unsaved? Are you afraid to die? Call on him while he is near. Moments are swiftly passing by. Will you seek him while he still may be found? Are you afraid to die? And then it goes through the chorus again. Are you afraid? Are you unsaved? Are you afraid to die? It says, are you too wicked to cry? Would you to God's bosom fly? Soon he's coming like a thief in the night. Are you afraid to die? Are you afraid? Are you unsaved? Are you afraid to die? Pretty simple lyrics there. And sinner, it's something you need to think about. Something you need to really, really think about. Are you afraid to die? I was a grown man, 34 years old, when the gospel got a hold of me, the Lord was dealing with me. I was afraid to die. I thought I was a pretty tough old soul. I thought I was a pretty tough guy. But I tell you what, when the Lord God got a hold of me, and the Spirit of God got a hold of me, let me know that I was going to die and go to hell. Fear said in my heart, I was afraid to die. Amen. How many were you when the Lord got a hold of you that you knew you was lost, that you was afraid to die? I think every one of us were that realized the state that our soul was in, that we didn't want hell to be our home, an everlasting home, everlasting pain and suffering. I'm going to wipe my eyes where I can see, and I'll try to read here. Matthew 13, 24th verse. Says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Says, but while a man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. It says, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, we root up also the wheat with them. He said, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn. And he went on to teach. And he went on to tell them about three more parables. And then after he did that, now this is something that's going to be easy to preach, because there's so many times that we get into God's Word and we read God's Word and read some of these parables sometimes, and sometimes it's really hard and difficult for us to understand. I mean, sometimes you got to really be the time back then to maybe understand exactly what Jesus was talking about. Sometimes they're as plain as day. Sometimes you really have to study, that you've got to really meditate upon these parables. But you know what? After he told them three more parables, he explained this one. He explained this one to them. They didn't understand it during that time. Of course, I want you to understand, you know, the wheat is what we see out in the wheat fields. I don't think it's changed. It might have been a different type of wheat, but it was wheat. And if you look out right now, you see the wheat fields and they're starting to turn brown. It's getting close to the harvest. And reapers are those back then. Now, we have combines today. Here in the modern world that we live in, we have combines, and the combines go out and thrash the wheat. Man don't really have to do it. The machine does it for them. That separates the wheat from the chaff, and they put it in bins, and if it ain't dried out enough, they dry it out some more, and they send it off to market. But back here in Jesus' day, I guess you say they had a big old stick and had a blade on it, and they would go out in the fields, and they would chop the wheat down. They were called reapers. They was the ones that would harvest the wheat. They would go out and cut it down, and then they would take it and tie it up and put it into bundles. But there was weeds in it. The 36th verse, it drops down. It says, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." We're talking about Christ. We're talking about Jesus. That's who we're talking about. "Said, the field is the world. The good children are the children of the kingdom." The children of the kingdom are the saved people. Those that have been born again, born of God, born of Spirit, been saved by His grace. That's who they are. They're the saved. Said, "But the tares are the children of the wicked one." The tares are the unsaved. Those that have never been saved by God's grace. Those that don't know Him. That's who the tares are. So consider, if you've never been saved, put yourself in this place that you're the weeds. The wheat are the good, the righteous people, the ones that's been saved by the grace of God. We're the wheat. Look at me, I'm a wheat. But if you ain't been saved, you're nothing but a weed. Weeds are good for nothing, really. We hoe them down and cut them down. We go out in the gardens or we go out in our yard and we try to take care and control the weeds. We don't want them in our grass. We don't want them in our gardens. We don't want them nowhere. They're no good. They are no good. It says, "The enemy that sowed them is the devil." Brother Miller talked about that devil this morning. He did. Said, "The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels." It says, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels." Once again, Jesus will send forth his angels, "and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire." What do you suppose that furnace of fire is? What do you suppose that represented? Now, you have to understand, this was a parable. But that parable, he was trying to make a truth and let people understand and let those Jews and stuff understand what he was talking about. What do you suppose that furnace of fire is? It's hell. That's what it is. It's hell. Says there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What's that tell you? They're going to be pain. They're going to be suffering. I think I mentioned it before. Any time that we get hurt or we get injured, that we're in pain and we suffer. I've seen kids, and I remember even doing it myself, when you get ready to do something to a child's wound or something on their leg where they've scraped their leg or on their arm, you get ready to touch it, and they tighten up, they tense up, and they grit their teeth. It's the gnashing of the teeth. They are in such pain and they're in such suffering in hell that they're gnashing their teeth. They're in great pain and suffering. That's what Jesus was trying to explain to them here. The wailing, they were screaming, they're hollering, they're crying out. The rich man cried out, send Lazarus back. He didn't send him back just because he wasn't in pain or wanted to send him back. The man was suffering. But you know what? We get hurt, we get pain, and eventually it goes away. But I want to tell you something. When you get to hell, it's not going away. It's not going to quit. You're not going to be able to get it taken care of. Not then, you're not. But now you can. Right now, you can get it taken care of. There's a way. There's a great physician. And Brother Miller mentioned about Weston's wife, that she's in pain and that she had that baby and that she's having to go back in emergency surgery, and the doctors have to go in there and see what's going on with her to try to take care and help her with that pain that she's having. The physician's got to go in there and do another surgery on her. But I want to tell you something, people. You lost sinners. I know a great physician. Amen. I know a great physician. Amen. That can heal your heart. Yeah. And I'm not talking about this heart that's pumping the blood through your body. I'm talking about your soul. I'm talking about your soul that needs to be saved, that needs to be covered by that blood. He's a great physician. You that are lost, there's times that I've seen you in trouble and that you were crying, and that lets me know that you're in pain, that your heart, your soul is hurting and suffering. I hope you still are. I hope you hadn't rejected God's word so much that it's fallen on the deaf ears, and that your neck has become so stiff and your heart has become so callous that it don't have an effect anymore. That can happen. I've seen so many people that's been under the influence of this church from time to time that has come in, the young people, and you know what? They've left and are not with us anymore, and I've still never been able to hear a testimony from them. I've never even heard about being saved, and they're out in the world doing things they don't need to be doing. Amen. We don't want to lose you, children. Amen. We want you to seek after the Lord. We want you to know that great physician that is Jesus. The one that can save. The one that died at the cross at Calvary. In Matthew 25:41, it says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and his angels. Over here in John 8:44, you know, if you're not of, and I believe this is what the scriptures here is teaching, and I'm going to read. God loves you, okay? He sent his only begotten son to die on the cross at Calvary. His son loved you enough to be obedient until the cross. And he went to that cross and gave his life. I love that song that we sang earlier. Oh, what mercy. Think about it. Oh, what mercy that he had for us. Oh, what mercy that he has for you now. Because he's allowed you to come back one more time. He's allowed you another day. He's allowed you to come and sit in these pews one more time. But Jesus was telling them that parable that the tares were of the devil, the children of the devil. The wheat was the children of the kingdom of God, the children of God. And over here in the 44th verse, John wrote in the gospel. And of course, Jesus here was in a very big discussion with the Jews. With Abraham being their father. But the discussion that Jesus was trying to explain to them, it wasn't so much about the bloodline that Abraham was their father, but that it was the spiritual side of Abraham that he was trying to explain to them. Amen. In verse 44, he says, "Ye are of your father." Now, these were the people that were descendants of Abraham. He said, "Ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." This goes in with what Brother Miller was talking about this morning too. We just tie it in together. I'll start over here. "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." Now this is something this last verse I'm going to read. You might not believe that you're of the devil. That you're not the children of the devil. In the parable I read, that's what Jesus said you was. That's what he said, that the unsaved, those that had never been born again, that you were the children of the devil. Jesus got through here telling them that you are of your father, the devil. Now, do you believe it or not believe it? You might think, well, I'm not of the devil. Everything I've heard about him is bad. I'm not a bad person. I ain't done the things that the devil's done. I'm not of the devil. You're not saved, are you? Or are you? I don't know. You tell us that you haven't been. By your actions, you let us know that you haven't been. But as you sit there in your seats and you're thinking about the things that I might be saying, if you're listening, you may say that I'm not of the devil. That ain't what Jesus was telling me. That ain't the things that I read. If you're not of God, if you ain't been saved by the grace of God, if you hadn't put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're of the devil. 45th verse says, "And because I tell you the truth," listen to what he says here, "and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." Every preacher that you have said under, I know in this church, you may have said under preachers at other churches that might have not been old-time Baptists or missionary Baptists. You might have heard other things. But I'll tell you why you're unsaved right now. I'll tell you why you haven't been born again. I'll repeat it. This isn't Brother Buddy speaking here. This is Jesus speaking. This is the Word of God speaking. And these are the words of our Lord and Savior. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. You're not saved because you hadn't fully trusted and believed what the preachers have preached and what the Word of God says. You have not truly took and poured out your heart to Him and put your faith and believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. You have not put and trusted in all your heart, believing, I guess really, that the devil is real. Because I tell you, the devil is going to be sent to hell. And evidently you don't really believe that hell is real. And evidently you ain't believed that heaven is real. I want to tell you, sinner friend, you've got to trust the Word of God. You've got to believe the Word of God with all your heart. And I believe some of you have up here. But that ain't where you get it. That ain't where you get it. You got to trust them here inside your heart and soul. That's where you've got to trust them. Get it from your brain and get it to your heart. And when you do, when you get to that place, the Lord will save you. He will. I know that. I've experienced that. There's others here tonight that have experienced that. I hear of so many talking about how they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and how they made promises. It seemed like we've all done that some form or fashion. Most of us have. Then some I've heard that they stepped up out of their pew and headed to the altar and the Lord saved them like that. I wish it was that easy for me, but it wasn't. I suffered. And Brother Lowe, I think about your testimony that you tell about how much trouble that you got in. How you went and how you heard the gospel and how it pricked your heart and how you got in trouble and you couldn't find no peace. If you was awake, you was thinking about it. That your heart was hurting. My heart was hurting the same way. When I finally admitted that I was lost and separated from God and I was trying to do something about it, I was praying every opportunity I got. When I'd leave this church, I'd go home and I'd pray. I'd walk around outside and I'd pray. I'd sit at the picnic table, I'd pray. I'd lay down on the picnic table and I'd pray. And I'd get on Dusty's trampoline and I'd pray. And I'd walk, I'd go everywhere trying to find out what it was that I wasn't doing. I had a shop in Franklin too. My work, you talk about you had your tools in your hand and you was actually working in a church down there. We've got something in common there, brother. Listen, I was a grown man. And I was in such a shape that I feared, are you afraid to die? I read the words, the lyrics of that song to you about, are you afraid to die? I was afraid to die. This old boy was in bad shape. I was in such a shape. And I've told this, it's my testimony, that I was driving down the interstate because my shop was in Franklin, that I was driving down the interstate. And I tell you, I got in such a shape that I couldn't drive no more, that I just pulled my truck over to the side of the interstate. And I got out, and I went down inside the interstate under the tree and just got on my knees and cried out to God. I didn't care who saw me. It didn't matter. I wanted to get right with God before I died. because I feared that if I died, I knew hell was going to be my home. But I didn't get it taken care of there. I got through praying. I got up. I walked back up to the interstate, and I got in my truck, and I drove on to work. And I still prayed, searched for the Lord and stuff there. There's even one time Gail says, she wondered what happened to me. I had a car. I done the type of work I did. I done commercial storefronts. I put mirrors in the houses. I had a glass shop. I repaired storm windows. I put mirrors in the houses. I done auto glass. And I was putting a windshield in the car one day that I was in such a shape that I looked in there and there was a Bible in the back glass sitting up there. And I just stopped what I was doing and climbed into the car, into the back seat, and grabbed that Bible and just there and started reading it, trying to figure out what I was doing wrong. Why wouldn't you save me? I want to be saved. Why won't you save me? It just didn't happen. That's the kind of shape that I was in, people. That's the kind of shape I was in. And I was listening to, I would listen to a radio station. I was reading the Bible. I was doing everything I possibly could trying to find out what it was I needed to do that I might be able to know Him and that free pardon to sin, that I could get rid of that pain that was killing me inside my heart. I had the radio on that morning. Nobody was there but just me. I guess I had tools in my hand of some sort. I don't remember what I had in my hand, Brother Lowe. But I was listening to this radio station. And there was some man on there talking. And he said, you know, he said, I never really realized how powerful God really was. But he said, I had a friend that was a preacher. And that every spring break that he'd go to Daytona Beach. When all the kids would get on spring break out of college and stuff, and they'd head to the beaches and they'd put their bathing suits on and grab their beers and their pot or whatever else they might have grabbed to try to get the buzz and get high to get themselves feeling good. Full of sin. That's what it was. Everything was going on, it was full of sin. But he said he had a preacher brother that would go down there, and he said he would preach to these kids out there on the beach. And he asked them, he said, well, what in the world do you tell these kids? He said, well, part of it, he said, I tell them, he said, you know, when God was bringing the children out of Egypt, how the Israelites was in bondage, and how the Pharaoh let them go, and Moses was bringing them out, and then Pharaoh headed back after them. When they got to the Red Sea, and there was nowhere to go, that they felt trapped. I felt trapped. I was up against the wall. Didn't know what else to do, nowhere to go. He said, and then God opened up the Red Sea and He parted them waters. He said, listen, He said, I went to church every time the doors were open. He said, if the doors was open on a, and I don't know what kind of belief this guy was, but he said, if the doors were open on a Sunday morning, I went. If they was open Sunday night, I went. If they was opened up on Wednesday night, I went. If any other special occasion was going on at the church, I went. But he said when he started telling me about how God parted the waters of the Red Sea to allow those Israelites to be able to escape from Pharaoh, he said, for the first time in my life, he said, I realized how powerful God really was. And I tell you, that struck something in me like I never felt before. And when I cried out, and I told you before, all I said was one word. That when I cried out, I remember looking up and just holding my hands up, crying out, God. And the Lord saved me. I felt a peace like I'd never felt before, people.
Amen.
Like a peace I'd never felt before. What I've got's real.
Amen.
Nobody can take it away. The devil can't get it. The devil can't get me. He hinders me. But I'm not the devil. I'm not the child of the devil anymore.
Amen.
I am the child of God. I am joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
My Father owns it all. He's in control of it all. But you know, I've been deceived once. And I didn't really know for sure what happened to me. And y'all have heard this, that I went and I bowed down at the altar when we had the altar calls. I'd been coming. I was bullheaded for a while. But I finally made my way because I was wanting to get this thing taken care of. And I'd come up here and I'd pray. And to no effect, I'd go home, like I said, go all over the place again. Try to get it taken care of. But that morning, the Lord took care of it, but being confused being deceived before, I just wasn't sure. And I remember when Brother Moran had the altar call, Brother Doug Curtis was helping in revival that year. And I remember he made the altar call, and I've came up here, and y'all have heard this before. See, I was changed before I even got up here. But I did what I thought I was supposed to be doing. I came up here and I bowed and I tried to pray. And Brother Duncan Houchins, I believe, was still leading the singing then. And when he was leading the singing and the people, the brothers and sisters were singing, I wanted to sing with them. If I didn't know the words, I was wanting to hum with them. I felt good. I didn't feel all that pain that I'd been feeling and all that suffering that I'd been feeling. I felt good inside. But I wouldn't get up. And then they asked for a Christian handshake, and they came through and had a handshake. And I remember people coming through the line and saying things to me and hugging me and telling me different things. And Brother Moran come through, and I heard his voice. I knew who it was. And I got up, and I sat down on that bench, and I looked at Brother Moran, and I said, Brother Moran, I think I got saved. He said, well, I can't tell you that. That's between you and the Lord. I said, I know that. I turned around and got back down on my knees and started praying some more. But the Lord let me know what happened to me that morning. That he'd done taking care of it. That's why I felt joy in my heart. That's why I didn't feel that trouble, that storm that stayed in my heart for several days. The Lord took care of it because he put that sweet peace in my heart that only he can do. I knew Brother Moran's voice. But I'm so glad that I know and hear the voice bigger than his. One that let me know where I stood with him. That's my Lord and Savior. You that are lost, he'll let you know when you get saved. You that might be confused, he'll let you know that you've been saved. Pour out your heart to them. You can get this thing worked out, I'm telling you. It's possible. All things are possible with God. There ain't nothing that He can't do. But what you got to do, you got to believe the Word with all your heart. You got to believe in Jesus with all your heart. Trust in Him. Seek after Him. I want to tell you something. You got to be obedient. You got to be obedient. You got to obey God. We have an altar call so many times for you to come and pray. Sometimes you show up. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you kneel back there or lean over in your pews and pray. Sometimes you may be just sitting up praying. We can't look at your heart. We don't know. But I want to tell you something. If the Lord tells you that you need to stand on your head, you need to stand on your head. If the Lord tells you to turn flips, you need to try to turn flips. And that sounds a little bit funny, but I'm telling you the truth. The thing that I'm trying to explain to you, that whatever the Lord wants you to do, you need to do it. Do what the Lord would have you to do and get rid of your own pride and your own stubbornness and seek after the Lord with all your heart. The God that I serve is real. Tonight could be y'all's night that the Lord has saved you. Get your heart where you need to get to. Every one of you. Church, get our hearts where we need to get to. That the Lord might use us in a mighty way. That His Spirit would be manifested so strong. Lord, help us. Brother Strode, you got a song? Let's work, church. Let's get busy. Do whatever we need to do. We got those that are trying to get right with God, and we need to pray for that power of conviction. We made mention that we ain't seeing their hearts convicted. We ain't seeing them in trouble. But church, we need to help them get to that place.
Yeah.
Knowing that we can't save them, but we can pray for the power of God to come down on them. So get busy. Their time is running out. They might not have another opportunity. Lord, help.
Number 321.
Lord, help us.
Number 321.
Visitors, help us out. You're welcome. You come pray with us. Do whatever the Lord leads you to do, but let's do it.
Lord, help. Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning.
Is there any more out there that need to be
for
saved?
For your life.
Is there any more that can't stand to give a testimony of salvation?
Oh, how sad.
If you don't have that peace,
to face
the
judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God.
There ain't nobody going to laugh at you.
Why
everybody
so
that's here has been saved by the grace of God. I want you to be saved too.
While the fleeting,
I don't care if you're a visitor, where you're from, if you don't know that peace of God, come and pray that we might be able to pray with you.
Prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment unprepared.